So Titus 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee.
Not a big chapter, but there's a lot of good stuff in here. It starts out with sound doctrine. Speak those things which become sound doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:16, by continuing in sound doctrine which saves us. We're saved by the truth, Christ, the Word, the Spirit is the truth. Sound doctrine. When we go forth in the world and we preach the gospel and we run into Christians, so-called Christians, they don't love sound doctrine. They don't cling to the sound doctrine that the Bible talks about. Doctrine means instruction. How else do we find to follow after Christ? How else do we know? Doctrine, learning, teaching, instruction, that which is taught, precepts. We don't see a very high regard for doctrine out in the American churchianity, do we?
No.
No, but what is interesting is that some of them, like the Baptists or the Calvinists, like to claim that their Calvinism or their Baptist doctrines are sound doctrine, and they're all about faith alone, and that's sound doctrine. You've got to hold to doctrine.
They hold to man-made doctrine.
I find it interesting that Paul talks about sound doctrine, and 99% of it is about what we're supposed to act like. Faith and works go together.
Yeah, doctrine would be all the instruction of God's word. He's talking about complete doctrine, yeah.
Yeah, but if you leave out what holiness is, if you leave out what it means to be sober, grave, temperate, all of that thing, like, you're leaving out sound doctrine. You're not teaching holiness and obedience.
Yes, sound doctrine would be like Paul said in Acts, I did not keep from preaching the whole counsel of God's word to you. So sound doctrine would be everything that applies to us in the New Testament today and some of the pre-Torah things that we keep. Yeah. Yeah, in this chapter, is this not the chapter? You just read it, I think it is, where it tells the aged men to be sober, the women to be sober, the young men to be sober, and the young women to be sober, right? And isn't that what we talked about today at the Mennonite Church, the guy laughing and goofy?
Yeah.
And we said, well, shouldn't you be sober? And he literally said on video, you can see it on our testing we did of Palm Grove Mennonite Church. He literally said, I said, sir, aren't you supposed to be sober? And he said, oh, I drove out of that. I used to be an old order Mennonite horse and buggy. And I said, you drove out of God's word? He said, oh, no. And I said, God's word says to be sober. So he was saying that as an old order Mennonite, he was more sober. And now he was like a laughing, Jesus guy, one of these guys. He's like lost his soberness, sobriety, I guess you would say. He lost it. You saw it, Brother Cool. He lost it completely.
Yeah, he lost it.
Yeah. Sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. Yep. Amen. Titus 2 is the chapter that instructs ladies on what they should be doing, right? Aged women likewise, that they may be behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. You know, we don't hear that very much. So Titus 1 says the same thing about men that are to be elders, teachers, overseers. And I guess I just caught that. It's telling the women, aged women, to be teachers of good things. So it goes what we were talking about the other day. Everyone's a teacher to someone. Husbands teach their wives and their children. Elders and teachers teach the body. Brothers teach brothers. Sisters teach sisters. Older brothers teach younger sisters. But look at that. The women are to be teachers of good things. They may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children.
Older women teach younger women.
So they're teachers. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good. Look at that. It's so basic, good. That they be good.
Good.
You know, you go out in the world and you tell people to be good, they go, oh, yeah, come on, give me a break. Good. Obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. There's a lot of that going on, the word of God being blasphemed. Verse 6, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. So that word sober, let's look it up. Or sober-minded, the word is minded. Yeah. Isn't that interesting? To be sound of mind, that is sane, moderate. To be right mind. To be of a sound mind. To be in one's right mind. To exercise self-control. To curb one's passions. So really, biblically sober, I know we did it. I did it today. It isn't even a guy that like laughs or something, goes, ha, 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 ha. That doesn't mean he's not being sober. Sober is to be sound in mind and to be under control. But if you're way to the other spectrum and you're like, now you're not in sound mind on the things of God and you're going off into the flesh. And so, yeah, it's like, it's kind of tied together. Sober doesn't mean you can't laugh a little bit, but when someone becomes silly, they're no longer being sober, are they?
Well, if you tie it together with being grave, like venerableness, look, I got tripped up on that word. It kind of ties together, like, you, sober-minded isn't going to be silly or foolish, because foolish talking or jesting is not to
wait,
be...
Wait, what word are you looking up for venerable?
Gravity, verse 7.
Oh, gravity, okay, verse 7, okay.
Right, like, yeah, it's, we're not to be foolish talkers or jesting or joking or laughing or like, okay, some, God gave us humor, like some things that are pure, good, pure and true, you can smile or laugh at them, but we don't sit around cracking jokes and just laughing. That's,
yeah.
That's jesting and foolish speaking. That's,
yeah, we're supposed to be
among the saints.
Yeah, we're supposed to be serious and sober-minded, especially when someone's proclaiming the word of God, or in particular when someone's bringing a rebuke and a correction about your doctrine. You should at least hear it with a sober mind and then go to the word of God and rightly divide it, not just laugh about it or yell out to this Jesus that they follow. Yeah. What did he say? Personal relationship with Jesus, he said he was yelling out.
Yep.
That's not being sober minded in the things of God.
Yeah, that keeps coming up. I was telling Brother Aku, I literally did a study today on relationship or covenant.
Yeah.
We don't have a relationship with Jesus. We have a covenant.
You're right. Yeah. Amen. Young men, be sober-minded, pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. You just read that, verse 7.
I like how it says pattern of good works.
Pattern.
And if you look at that word pattern, it means like a die, a stamp.
That's
like a shape.
Close.
Like an example.
That's,
yeah, it's
close.
An example.
Yeah.
Yeah,
a pattern. I used to work in a manufacturing plant. Boom, 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 boom. This machine ran all day spitting out parts, and every part was identical to the one before. Otherwise, it got rejected.
Yep.
That's an example part. Verse 8, sound speech that cannot be condemned. There you go. That's soberness. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed. Look at that. So if you're contrary to that, you should be ashamed.
But as we talked about in the last part, the wicked glory in their shame.
Yeah.
So even though they could be like doing shameful things, being ashamed on the contrary part, they're going to glory in that shame of like contradicting the word of God.
You see that in their pride.
Yeah.
That goes along with taking pleasure in unrighteousness in the last days, right?
Yep.
And look what verse 9 says.
Well, before you go there, sincerity, that hits you. That hits you in the motives, that you're genuine and sincere.
Yeah, sincerity, yeah. Yeah. You could be sincerely wrong, too. So you have to be careful what side of the truth you're on. Sincerity matters. Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again.
Basically not talking back.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, Paul's not saying every man should be set free from all the servanthood or servitude that he's in. Paul's saying be the best servant you could be. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Kind of like if you're in jail, be the best prisoner you can be, right?
If you're called being a servant, like
yeah,
you're the Lord's.
Yeah, stand where you're called. Yeah, amen.
Yep.
Amen. There's a word you don't hear much in English. Verse 10, purloining. I think that means like stealing, isn't it?
Embezzling, yeah.
Yeah, to set apart, to divide, yeah, take out. Yeah, I've heard people use purloining for stealing, but it's to keep back, yeah. Oh, yeah, to embezzle, to steal, yeah. It doesn't say steal, but I think that's what embezzle means.
Yeah, it means kind of skim off the top.
Yep, yep.
For yourself.
You're embezzling.
But showing all good fidelity, which is actually interesting with faithfulness. Fidelity would be faithfulness. It's the same word used, pistis, for trust.
Right, yep. Look at that. That they may adorn the doctrine of our God, our Savior, in all things.
Yeah, it's just like exercise. You want to adorn yourself, adorn the doctrine of God. Instead of your flesh, adorn God's doctrine. Instead of exercising your flesh, exercise yourself in God's correction.
Okay, so here's a note for you. Titus 2 is a great chapter to take people to that don't believe Jesus is God. Because here we have in verse 10, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. God and our Savior is the same person, same entity right there. And then go down to verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. God and Christ. Christ is God. Puts them right together. It's a good chapter to take people that don't believe Jesus is God to.
Oh, yeah. I like verse 11 and 12. I've memorized that. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You meet somebody, I've used this, you meet somebody, they talk about grace, ask them what grace is, and most of them think grace is like just something that you get that covers you. But grace, if you have grace, it'll actually teach you. Grace teaches you to live a righteous life and to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Grace isn't that thing that God gives you that covers you in your sin.
No.
Grace, if God gives you grace, it'll teach you to get out of your sin.
Yeah. Amen.
I like that part.
He gave himself for us that we might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That doesn't sound like churchianity at all to me. That doesn't sound like Anabaptist people at all. This sounds like people that want to be pure from all sin and iniquity, and they want to be zealous, his peculiar people of good works, not of the world, not of any false ways. That doesn't sound like any church group I know. I guess that's why we're not united to any other church groups.
I like that definition of peculiar. Being beyond usual. I like that.
I would say that describes us pretty well, God's people.
Yeah, to be special, basically.
Special to God.
Yep.
There you go. You got a little bit of a Calvinistic in that definition. A people selected by God from other nations for his own possession. little Calvinist bent on that interpretation.
A little bit.
And then verse 15. We do it all the time in the streets. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let's look at those words. So speak, that's pretty clear. Well, let's look at what the word speak means. Probably means what we say it means. Yep. Talk with utter of words. To utter a voice, a sound. To use the tongue. To talk. So speak means speak. And then exhort. To call near. To invite. Beseech. To entreat. To call to one side. Yeah, we do that all the time. Like at the art fair this weekend, we were like, we plead with you. Please consider your fate. You're just a vapor. Your life is passing away. You're wasting your time on foolishness. Consider these things. That's why we come out in the street to do this. Why do you think we do this? Hey, what did the atheist say to you, Brother Akuo? The atheist man came up, and what did he say to you today? Saturday at the art fest?
Yeah, he talked about how he appreciated, like, our boldness. He appreciated, like, how we were so, like, open and, like, preaching. Like, he appreciated that boldness. But when we questioned him about creation and whatnot,
he didn't have an answer. I said, "You're an atheist?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Where did creation come from?" And he's like, he put his hands up, "I don't know," and he walked away.
Yeah.
But isn't that interesting? The atheist praises your boldness, but the churchianity people get mad, or the pastors call the police on us, right?
Yep.
So to exhort, and then rebuke. We talked about rebuke. To admonish, correct, convict, to tell a fault, to refute. Right there. Generally with a suggestion of shame of the person convicted. Conviction, to bring light to expose, to find fault with. I thought we're not supposed to judge. How do we find error if we don't judge rightly? With all authority. What does that word mean? Does it mean what I think it means? Injunction, mandate, command. I don't think we need any other discussion on that, do we? Says what it says.
Yep.
Let no man despise thee. Does that include modern pastors? Does that include Anabaptists?
Yep.
Yeah, if we do all those things, that's what's going to be the end result. People will despise us. But being zealous for good works, I love that. We passed that one up. 14. Zealous for good works reminds me of Ephesians 2. I think it's 10. It is 10. Where it says we were made for good works.
Made for good works.
I like that. Anything else on Titus 2, brothers?
That was all that I had.
Anything else, Brother Cool?
No, I guess that was all that I had, too.
Yeah, good job, brothers. This will be up in that. We'll see a gathering area to edify everybody else online.